From Masechet Nazir, let's see. In the some parts of this Masechet are going to be rather familiar. Some things of it are going to be covering the same ground, or almost the same ground as what we did in Nedarim. Nazir is a type of Nedar. But then large parts of the Masechet are going to focus on the things that are specific to a Nazir. And included in them are actually going to be a couple of very basic sugyas in Shas. For example, one of them is the whole concept called tamkin. The whole concept called tamkiker, that the taste of something has the same din in many places in halacha as the actual substance itself. That's relevant to a nazir. A nazir is not allowed to eat grapes or drink wine or whatnot for later on in the Masechta. In the middle, it's going to talk about the case, for example, where a nazir soaks bread in wine, how much of it he'd have to eat in order to get malchus for being over on his nazirus. Also, towards the end of the Masechta, there's going to be a very, very long discussion about many details of the halachos of tumas mes. Because again, that's another one of the things that a nazir is not allowed to become tumas mes. And there's going to be a lot of basic things like that in the Masechta. The outlines of Nazirus, I think everybody is fairly familiar with. There's basically three things a Nazir is oser: any grape product, cutting his hair, and becoming tummy mess. If he becomes tummy in the middle of his Nazirus, he has to bring three karbonis, two birds for an oila and a chatas, and a sheep for an osham. And then start over again. And when he finishes his Nazirus successfully, he also brings three karbonos. What is it? Two sheep and a ram, an osham and a shlamim. And then he goes back to normal life.
That's up to 30 days.
The minimum is 30 days. That's what we're going to talk about later. That we're going to talk about over in later on in this parak in the next couple of days. That the minimum term of Nazirus is 30 days, and then it can be much longer than that, of course. We'll also get into as we go through. We're going to get into. There's a couple of other special types of Nazirus. The normal type of Nazirus is the kind where a person is a nazir for X amount of time, and at the end of it, he shaves his hair and brings his karbanas. There's two other kinds that we're going to talk about over the next in the Gemara in a few days from now, called a nazirus shimshon and nazir olam. Where nazirus shimshon, he's allowed, there's no deadline for it. It lasts his entire lifetime, but he is allowed to become tamei mes. And nazir olam, where he's also a nazir for his whole life, but every 12 months, he cuts off his hair and brings his karbanos and then starts the next year.
What's the purpose of becoming
a nazir? Purpose of becoming a nazir? Well, first of all, we'll learn in the Gemara that you have a famous example, Haroya Sota B'Kokola. A person sees what happens to a Sota, realizes how did she get into that situation in the first place, is by drinking inappropriately. Then a person may want to become a nazir. But more generally, there can be, we learned about this in Nedarim, there can be some...
Yeah.
Well, that's Haroy S, I typical call her. Oh, because she could have been a Nazir also. A woman can become a Nazir also. But, we learned in Nedarim. I mean, there can be a person can just say a Nedar of Nazirus just for a frivolous reason. Just like we talked about in Nedarim, a person can make a frivolous Nedar and we call it the Nidre Rishayim. Same thing with Nazirus. A person can take it on for frivolous reasons, but a person can also take it on for good reasons. We have there the story of the younger man. Oh, hello. With the younger man from the south of Eretz Yisrael who came to Shimon HaTzadik, we'll have an enormous effect as well, where he realized he has to become a Nazir so his Yetzer Hara doesn't run away with him. So, first thing though, the Mishnah is going to start off pretty much the same way as we started off Nedarim, with how exactly does a person take on, most of this first parak is going to deal with the basic concept of how does a person take on Nazirus in the first place. What? No, that's it. It's the wrong part. It's the next parak. Okay. So the Mishnah starts out. Kol kinuyin nazirus kinazirus. All the kinuyim that we had in Nedarim, all the kinuyim of nazirus are just like nazirus. Kinuyim are other terms for nazirus. Other than the normal, the full way of saying would be I will be a nazir. opinion we'll have later on in the Mishnah is other substitute words that can be put in instead of the word nazir. Ha'omer ehe, Mishnah says, if somebody says, I will be, hare is a nazir, then he also becomes a nazir. Now, what is that? Now, the Gemara is going to point out there are two things about this. Number one is that ehe, who says that means nazirus necessarily? And number two, that's not a kinui. We started off called kinui and nazirus kinazirus. The word ehe is not a kinui. It's rather, well, again, we learned about this in Nedarim, it's a yad, it's a partial declaration. I'm not sure if any of those have nazir in them. I think all of those are just nadarim. I guess you can look. Yeah. Sorry. So it's a yad. So that's one of the things the Gemara is going to talk about. Similar to what we had at the beginning of nadarim, that actually the Mishnah is discussing, that we're going to end up saying that the Mishnah is discussing both kinuyim and yadais, and giving examples of each one. So ha'omer ehe, harei de nazir, oy ehe noe, nazir, or another one is if he says, I will be beautiful, then that also makes him a nazir. Now again, what that means, the Gemara will deal with tomorrow, who says that ehe noe has anything to do with nazirus. Those are examples of yadais. Now if he says, nazik, naziach, paziach, harei de nazir, what if he uses now one of the kinuim? What? So there's two ways of teaching that lashon. Either ehe noe nazir, or either ehe noe. No. So either if he says ehe, then he's a nazir, and then we start with the examples of kinuyim. Or if he says ehe noe, then he's a nazir, and also if he says nazir or nazik or poziach. So nazir could refer either to the previous sentence or to the next sentence. Yeah. Nozik Paziach. Those are all examples of kinuyim. Those are all examples of those substitute terms that we learned about in Nedarim, which we had the machloikus over there, Rabbi Yosef and Rish Lakish. Where do these words come from? Tosfos brings it over here that either they're words from foreign languages that have the equivalent meaning of nazir, or Rish Lakish had said over there that these are words that the Chachamim made up. In order, in the case of Nedarim, they wanted to dissuade people from saying Karban Lashem or Neder Lashem or whatever, because they shouldn't be using Shem Shemayim Levatala. In particular, we talked about over there the idea a person might say Lashem Karban and then say Lashem and drop dead. So similarly with Nazirus, there would be the same idea. The Chachamim wanted to discourage people from using the word Nazir, and therefore, according to Rish Lakish, they instead invented these terms Nazik, Nazik, Paziach, etc. Which Tosfos points out, by the way, so what does the mission have to give those examples? I mean, so by the same logic, if the word table in English means a nazir, then if a person were to say in English, I'm a table, then he's going to become a nazir. What does the mission have to mention specific examples? The difference is, Tosfos says that, yes, in any other language, you could take on nazirus if you know that the word you said means a nazir in that language. Nazik, nazik, poziach are a special case. Just like the word nazir itself, so if a person says, I am a nazir, even if he doesn't know Hebrew, but he says the words, I am a nazir, then he becomes a nazir. Nazik, nazik, paziach, the three examples that our Mishnah gives are the same kind of thing. Because those words are close enough, according to Rabbi Yochanan's idea, that these are words from foreign languages, because they're so close to the original word nazir in Hebrew, therefore they have a special status. If a person were to say, I am a nazik, even if he doesn't know what the word nazik means, he would become a nazir. Whereas if any other equivalent word in some other language, if the word table meant nazir in English, and he were to say, I am a table, but he had no idea what he's saying, then he wouldn't become a nazir. That's why the Mishnah mentions these particular examples. Hareni kazeh, what if he says, I'll be like this?
To mean intent, in other words, to become a nazir.
You need intent, but in other words, the point is that, just like the word nazir itself, if a person says, I am a nazir, we consider that there's enough intent in what he said that will make him a nazir. Right.
Nazik, nazir.
The same thing with nazik, nazik, paziach. That's his point. Pivilim ishavin, yeah. But if he uses any of those terms, even though he may not have known, he may not have known that the word nazir, for example, is a term equivalent to nazir. Nevertheless, he will become a nazir.
It is defined as a term, or it's a meaning.
That's what we're saying. It's defined as being the equivalent of nazir. So now, if he says Haredi Nozik, then we'll tell him, okay, you're a Nozir now. And if he says, wait a minute, I didn't know it wasn't people to be shoved, and then fine, we'll go to Beis Din and.
Well, I was joking. I didn't have no intention.
Okay, then you know, then it's a job for Beis Din to figure out. I mean, a person, you know, we expect that when a person is gonna say a neder, in this case, a neder of Nazirus, they're gonna be careful with it. Yeah, I mean, you know, you could say that for any neder. We learned in Nedarim about Nidre Havai, right? You know, that a person could make a neder not really sincerely meaning it, but you know. We'll have to find out. I mean, you not necessarily will he be able to get away with that either. If he were to say I'm a nazir, for example, and then afterwards say I'm joking, I'm going to go ahead and eat grapes, that may not be good enough. We may still give him malchus. Objectively at this point he's a nazir. If he's going to argue in front of Beis Din that it wasn't people that are shoving, maybe that's different. Actually, come to think of it, I mean, in order to get malchus, he'd need hasra anyway, so fine. If he says, I'm a nazir, or a nazik, or what have you, and afterwards he's about to eat grapes, and they tell him, don't, you're a nazir, never mind, I'm going to do it anyway, malchus. If afterwards he's going to claim, no, I was only joking, no, well, you didn't have to accept hasra, then you should have said that, and yeah. Hareni kazeh, continues the Mishnah, what if the person says, I will be like this? Which the Gemara is also going to talk about the idea that this is talking about a nazir is passing by in front of him. So he's looking at that person and say, I'll be just like this person. Or Hareni misalsil, I will, misalsil literally means curl. So it means like I'll grow my hair long and curly. Hareni mchalkil, or mchalkil is also an expression of growing hair, as the Gemara will discuss. Harei ala shalayach pera, or I'm obligated to let my hair grow long. In all those cases, Harei de Nazir, all those are terms equivalent to all those are terms equivalent to Nazirus. Tosfos points out these are not really Yodos. Yodos would be like the examples at the beginning of the Mishnah, for example, he said Ehei, or Ehei Noah, where it's an incomplete statement. Here, the statement, for example, I'm going to grow my hair long, is a complete statement. He just didn't clarify that he meant it to have anything to do with Nazirus. We are supplying that explanation that he doesn't just mean, Stam, I'm going to grow my hair long, he means I'm going to grow my hair long as a nazir. What about Harei Olai Tziporim? What if a person says, I'm obligating myself to bring birds, which a nazir, when he's Tamei, does in fact bring three karbonas, two of which are birds. Rav Meir, I'm a nazir, v'cham, I'm any nazir. Why, now, where does Rav Meir get, just because he says birds, I mean, a person can bring birds as a carbon to Dava as well, who says that has anything to do with Nazirus, that the Gemara will take up tomorrow. So, first things first, before getting into the meat of the Mishnah, first, when we get down to it, I mean, we're thinking, you know, we learned Nedarim, so therefore it's a natural progression to Nazir, because Nazirus is a type of Nedar. The Gemara is not going to take that assumption. The Gemara is going to start by discussing what is Nazir doing in Seder Nashim at all? Just because it has to do with Nedarim? Not necessarily. Shavuos also has a lot to do with Nedarim, for example. And Shavuos isn't in our Seder. Shavuos is in Nezikin, where it belongs. Because mostly it talks about Shavuos involving basing. So by the same logic, Nazir didn't necessarily have to follow Nedarim in Seder Nashim. It could just as well have been placed in Seder Kachim, dealing with the Nazir's Karbanos. So the Gemara asks, Mech Tana b'Seder Noshim Koi. The Tana now, let's consider, the Tana is in the middle of Seder Noshim, my time at Tana Nazir. So why did you all of a sudden go to Nazir? The answer is Tana Akro Koi. The Tana is basing himself on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'holye im leitzim tachen ve'enu kimotza ba'er v'sadover. Talks about when a husband wants to divorce his wife, that if she doesn't find favor in his eyes because he found something improper in her, meaning, in other words, those psukim are talking about the dinim of gittin, and we also learn from them kiddushin. But also, it has to do with the idea of soita, because what's the motzav ervas davar can be the case where she's a soita. And in fact, we learned in several places in Yevamos that there's a pasuk over there where the pasuk says lo yuchabala rishna sheshulcha, you can't remarry her achrei rishu tamar. We learned that that's talking about a soita as well. And V'hachikama. So the Tana is saying like this: Mi gorem lo la'avera. Now, what brings a woman to do this kind of avera, to be a soita, sofek rubade, as the case may be? Yayin is drinking wine. V'kama. So therefore, the Tana effectively is saying: Kol aroya soita, because kol yazir asmim in a yayin. Anybody who sees a soita in her degradation should swear off wine, in order to avoid getting trapped in this kind of thing as well. All the women who are in that area, who are around the Beit Mikdash at that time, have to go see her, actually, the Gemara explains in Sota, in order that they should learn a lesson from her. Any men who are around in the Azara at that time can see her. So if you have a person who was there and ended up seeing her, and actually this ties in with the famous verse from the Baal Shem Tov and from all the Rebbeim after him, that when you see something, it's meant to, the fact that you saw it as Ashkacha Pratis is meant to, you're supposed to be accomplishing something about it. So in this case, you see the Kilkul of the Saita, it means, in other words, there's a certain level of that Kilkul in you. Therefore, Yazir Asmim in Ayayin.
But a Saita is not always the result of Yayin.
It's not always, but it's a likely cause of it. Wine tends to lower people's inhibitions and make them do things that they might not otherwise do. They ask the question, in that case, then why is it in the Torah you have the things in a logical order? You have the Parashat Sota in Parashat Nazir, and right after that you have the story of the Nazir, you have the Parashat Nazir. Here it's the other way around. We're putting Nazir, and next is going to be Sota, which we'll learn in 2 months or so. So why is that? A couple of interesting answers they give. One answer that I saw from, I think, the Ishbitzer is, the Eivishter versus the Chachamim, not versus, the Eivishter, our relationship to the Eivishter and our relationship to the Chachamim is respectively like a child's relationship to their father and their mother. That's the Pasuk says, Shmabini Musa Ravicha, Altitesh Torah Simecha. So what happened? The Eivishter then relates to us as a father, and a father, sometimes, okay, you know, he sees, you know, the child is going to have to learn, is going to have to do or see the wrong thing, and then learn from that to do the right thing. So it's a first, then another. The Chachamim relates to us as a mother. A mother would rather that her child doesn't have to go through the hard thing in the first place. No. Put Nazir first. Put the cure before the problem. The Sota. Different explanation that they give is also that the Torah is talking when the Torah is talking on a higher level. You're able to first see what happens to the Sota and then realize what the consequences are and take action and become a Nazir. Whereas we're talking on in later times, the Skafnu Adoris, you can't take that kind of chance. You can't take the chance of first you might fall into, you might observe the falling through of the Sota and then only then come to the Nazir. No, you gotta do Nazir before, you gotta have Nazir, you gotta have the cure before the problem. Yeah. Now, our Mishnah, it started off by saying, Kol kinuyim nezirus kinezirus, but then it doesn't continue immediately with kinuyim. First, it mentions the yadis, ehei noah. So, Omar Rava, v'itema kadi, so Rava says, or some say that kadi said, some of Farshim say that kadi is the name of an amora. Others say that kadi means empty, like as in, some say that Rava said it, others say we don't know who said it. Anyway, whatever it is, chasurim mechsira, in fact the Mishnah is missing words, v'achik katani, what it means is like this, ko kinuyim nezirus kinezirus, v'yodes nezirus kinezirus, all kinuyim of nezirus are like nezirus, and all yodes of nezirus are also like nezirus, v'elohen yodes, and what are yodes, ha'im ehe harez a nazir. Then the Gemara asks, which we have the same discussion in Dorim as well, v'lifrish kinuya bereisha. In that case, if we started off by saying ko kinuyim nezirus kinezirus, why don't we start, and then implicitly we're mentioning yodis as well, then why don't we first start explaining what kinuyim are and then explain what yodis are? The answer is Tanama, who desolik kahum afarish bereisha. The Tana, we learned about this in Dorim a lot of times, there's a chiastic structure. The Tana will A and B and then start explaining B and then A. So if it's kinuyim, then yodis, then first we'll explain yodis and then we'll go back to kinuyim. Because it's kind of like we find in Shabbos, v'amem madlikin v'amem madlikin. It starts off, what can you light Shabbos candles with, what can't you? Umafarish, and then it starts explaining ein madlikin v'reisha. First, it starts explaining what you can't use. Another example, also from Shabbos, v'amet termin v'amet ein termin. What are you allowed to use for atmana to insulate a pot of hot food before Shabbos, and what can't you use? Umafarish ein termin v'reisha, and then it first starts explaining the things you're not allowed to use. The next perek in Shabbos, the fifth perek, b'meisha yotzer, b'meina yotzer, what is a woman allowed to go out with on Shabbos and whatnot? We learned different kinds of jewelry and ornaments and whatnot that might fall off, or she might show them off and carry them or whatever. Yeah, mufarish lo teitzi isha b'reisha, and it starts explaining first what she's not allowed to wear. So there you have the. It's a typical kind of thing in Mishnayos. Then that it'll mention group A, group B, and then first start explaining group B, and then go back to explaining group A. That's what's none. But why? We have on the other hand, we have the other way around also. A, B, and then A, B. You have also in Shabbos in the fifth parak. But mebehem yotzer, v'me'en yotzer. What is an animal allowed to go out with on Shabbos and whatnot? Again, there's different things that would be considered that the animal is carrying. It starts by describing what an animal can carry on Shabbos, what kind of things for protection or what have you. Or, for example, yesh noichl in Bava Basra, yesh noichl in manchilin, you have people who are able to bequeath their property to others, and they can, or noichlin rather, who can inherit from the ones before them, umanchilin, and they can bequeath it to their heirs, a father and son, for example. Noichlin v'loy manchilin. You have cases where they're able to inherit, but they don't transmit it. Manchilin v'loy noichlin, where they can transmit it, but they can't inherit. Lo noichlin v'loy manchilin, or they neither inherit nor transmit. O mafarish eilu noichlin manchilin b'reisha. And then it starts off explaining the first group. So you see that sometimes the Mishnah does that also. See, back to the question, why does our Mishnah do it in the order that it does? Why does it first start explaining Kinurim? Why does it first start explaining Yodos, rather, and then go back to Kinurim? Ella, no. La'olam tani hachi v'tani hachi. No. Rather, we can say that, in fact, the Mishnah might do it either way. Sometimes it'll do it one way, sometimes it'll do it the other way.
La'olam
tani hachi v'tani hachi. The Mishnah can do it either way, but the logic is, Ela hasam di isurid nafshehu, in the cases, the first group that we mentioned, the second and fourth and sixth prakim of Shabbos, for example, in all those cases, the isurid nafshehu, those are all isurim on a person himself, a person, what kind of things a person is allowed to use and not allowed to use for Shabbos lich, allowed and not allowed to use for wrapping food, etc. Therefore, b'fanashi sura de nafshe b'reisha. So therefore, it first mentions what you're also to do in order to make that's the gabi behema di suri aide behema. Whereas when it comes to the behema, the isur, I mean, it's what you're doing. It's what you're doing, obviously. But the thing is really the animal. You're not allowed to have your animal go out on Shabbos carrying these kinds of things. It's a more indirect kind of thing. The animal is also to go out with such and such accessories. The sort of ID behemu, the isur is kind of more fundamentally on the animal. Therefore, ID behemu does. It only comes because of the animal. Therefore, farash akeda b'reisha. Therefore, mentions the heter first. And gabi yesh noichlin nami. And when it comes to yesh noichlin, the example there from Bava Basra, mefarish ikan nachla b'reisha. The logic is that it's not a matter of isur v'heter. It's just a matter of you want to clarify the whole concept of how inheritance works in halacha. So it makes sense then if you have four different groups: the ones who can inherit and bequeath, the ones who can inherit but not bequeath, etc. It makes sense to start with the basic case first: the ones who can inherit and the ones who can cause others to inherit. She first mentioned the basic concept of Nachla. Ella, but okay, back to the question though, Hocha Lifrish Kinuya Bredesha. Okay, but over here then, none of those considerations apply. It's not a matter of an Issur on you. I mean, it is. It's an Issur of Nazir. It's fine, but it's not really that there's one way where it's Osur to do and another way where it's Musur to do, like the case with lighting Shabbos candles. It's not a case where it's something incidental, like something that comes from the animal. It's not something where you want to explain the whole basic concept, like in the case of Nachla. So, Lifish Kinuyim B'reisha. So, you're back to the question, why doesn't it mention the Kinuyim first? The answer is, Ela Hainu Tam Yodah. Ela Hainu Tam. No, the real reason is like this. Yodos, Harov Askin, Lame Drosha, because the whole concept of Yodos, we only learn from a Drosha, which we'll talk about later on in the parish. We learned about in Adorim as well, Ishki Yudra Lahazu Nezer Nozer. So we learn from extra words in that pasuk the concept of yodai, so this partial declaration. So since we learn it from a drasha, as opposed to the words, as opposed to the kinuyim, the nozik, naziach, maziach, either way you look at it, whether you say like Rabbi Yochanan that these are words from other languages, or whether you say like Rish Lakish that the words that the Chachamim invented, either way, you don't need a drasha on the face of it. You don't need a drasha to say that those things should be valid forms of accepting the zeros. So it doesn't come from a drasha. Therefore, since yada has come from a drasha, chaviv and lay, therefore it's more chaviv, it's more precious to the Tana, and therefore he wants to mention it first. Something that we learn from a drasha, rather than more directly from Torah Shebichtav, in a way has a greater importance there. Chaviv and divrei sefer yosim and divrei Torah, that what the chachamim say, the Eibishta says, is so to speak more precious to him than even the words of Torah. To us also, even though we have the idea when it comes to things that Rabbanan were makel, when it comes to things that Rabbanan, when it comes to things Darais were machmir, but on the other hand, in a way, the things that Rabbanan have a greater importance to us because they among other things, they show that it's not just the Eibishter gave us the Torah, we had to accept it, and that's that. No, we ourselves keep on working on it and developing it and coming up with siyagim and so on and so forth. So that shows how important the Torah is to us.
And that's why we
start off with the Yadis. Okay, so then the question is, v'liftach b'chayin b'deisha, well then by that logic, then why doesn't the Mishnah start by mentioning Yadis first? In that case, the Mishnah should start off called Yadis n'zirus k'nezirus, and call kinuyim nizirus kinuzirus. Why then? Why start the list with kinuyim? The answer is Tana ki maschil be'ikur korban. Because when the Tana starts off, he wants to start with the main thing that brings to the korban. Because that, after all. Ultimately, a Nazir is going to have to bring his Karbanos. The Tana would, in a way, we said Yadis are more important because we learned from them from a Drasha. But on the other hand, the Nazir, Naziach, are in a way more important because they're closer to the word Nazir. And the word Nazir is more directly associated with the Karban. When a person says Ehei, that's not really directly associated with the Karban. So the Tana wants to start with the basic thing that comes to the carbon of the Nazir. Well, in Kirushi, but when it comes to explaining, Mefarish Yadis Vedesh, then he explains Yadis first, because as we said, Yadis are more precious to the Tana.
So, the sentence, he defines it first, and then the Yadis, and then
he starts off mentioning the concept of kinuyim because the kinuyim have the advantage that they're closer to the word nazir. Since we want to describe the basic concept that there is such a thing as a person able to become a nazir, and not only a nazir but also a nazik or naziach or what have you, then therefore we start off with kinuyim. Then because Yadis are more precious because we learn them from Darasha, therefore we shift gears and then talk about Yadis and then return to kinuyim. Mishnah said, "Ha'oima ehei harezen nazir." That if the person says, "I will be," then he becomes a nazir. Question is why? Dilma ehei b'tainis kamar. Why? Who said ehei doesn't have to mean I will be a nazir? It can mean I will be taking on a fast. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, whether that day, the next day, whatever. It has nothing to do with naziros. It's not so simple, actually. We learned in Tainis there is such a thing, for example, I think it was Rava, used to say, hey, the Tainis are over the basis, that I'll be observing a Tainis until I get home. Okay, the Gemara discusses over there that he only did it in order to evade an invitation from the Reish Galusa or whoever it was to eat with him, but still, you know, a person could say, hey, meaning the Tainis, and it has a certain effect on that day also. But whatever it is, it certainly doesn't necessarily, in and of itself, mean Nazirus. The answer is Amar Shmuel, Kigan Shahaya Nazir over the Fanav. You're right. The Mishnah would have to be talking about a case where a Nazir was actually walking by in front of him. So therefore, when he says Ehei, we can assume that to be a Yad as if it was, as it's a partial declaration of saying, I would like to be like him. Well, does that mean then that Shmuel holds Yodayim she'en mechichas lo having Yodayim? That now when it comes to Yodayim, we learned about this in Nedarim as well. A Yad can be a Yad mechiach, where even though it's not a full declaration, it's fairly obvious from what you said what you actually meant. Versus Yodayim she'en mechichas, where we have the various cases over there where you say a partial declaration and it could be taken more than one way. Now, since Shmuel, now, if a person were to say a hey without a nazir passing by, that would be Yodayim she'en mechichas. That would be, it could mean nazirus, but it could mean tainus, or it could mean something else. And Shmuel is telling us that taka would not work. When does it work? When is the Mishnah have to be talking about? Only when there's a nazir passing by. The nazir passing by makes it Yodayim Mechichas. So does that imply, therefore, that Shmuel holds that Yodayim Shein Mechichas is not Yodayim? Otherwise, because actually, to go back actually, Yaakov, to what you were saying about tainus, that's a good point, because when a person says ahei, let's assume that it can only mean either nazirus or tainus. Nazirus could take effect right away. There's no particular time of day when nazirus starts. Tainus usually only starts in the evening or the morning, as the case may be. So therefore, now if Shmuel were to hold that Yodayim she'en mechichas are still considered Yodayim, then we would say there's more of a reason for us to think that his ahei, even without a nazir passing by, means there's more of a reason to think that it means something that can take effect right away, namely nazirus, rather than something that may only take effect at the end of the day or the next morning, like tainus. But we see Shmuel doesn't hold that. We see evidently Shmuel doesn't hold that because that's why he says that nazir has to be passing by in order for it to work. So does that mean that Shmuel holds that way? Amri, so they answer, no. There's mention nazir over the fun of lekel sepuka b'mil sakrina. No, the difference is like this. If a nazir is passing by, then the difference is like this. Yes. Let's assume that, yes, Shmuel will hold that Yodayim Shein Mechichas is not considered Yodayim. Therefore, so what's the difference? The difference is that when the Nazir is passing by, Lech of a Sepulchre B'mil Sacharina, then there's no possible suffix. It can't possibly mean anything else except, I want to be like that guy. Avavada ain't a nazir over the fun of, but if indeed the nazir is not passing by in front of him, I mean a dilma ehei tainus karma, then it's true, it still might mean nazirus, because like we said, nazirus will take effect right away. But on the other hand, maybe not. It could just as well mean it could conceivably mean tainus. And therefore, for Shmuel, no good. So yes, Shmuel does hold that Yodayim Shein Mechichas is not Yodayim. That's one way that Tosfos learns it. The other way is that maybe let's say Shmuel does not say you need Yodayim Mechichas. But the difference is that you still need, you may not need Yodayim Mechichas. You may be able to have something that could be taken more than one way, and one of them is Nazirus. But it has to at least be that there's a reasonable chance that it means that, basically. The other way we can look at it, Tosfos says, based on a different girsa over here, is that if there's no nazir passing by, it's not even Yodayim Shein Mechichas. It's not considered, just saying hey is not considered a yad at all. For Shmuel, yeah. So that's the difference. In other words, according to the first explanation, is Shmuel does hold you need Yodayim Mechichas, and only because the Nazir is passing by is it Mechichas. If the Nazir was not passing by, it would be a Yad. It would still be considered a Yad. It's just Yodayim Shein Mechichas. Whereas according to the second way of looking at it, if there's no Nazir passing by, it's not even a Yad at all.
Either way.
Well, as a practical matter, either way, it means if there's no Nazir passing by, he's not going to be a Nazir, yeah. The Gemara asks, Dilma, Vidilma the Poetrim in Kobanois of Kalmar. Why? Maybe Ehei means that I will be the one who brings this Nazir's Kobanos. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta that if Ruvain makes a neder to become a Nazir, Shimon is able to donate the Kobanos on his behalf. There's actually a famous story that the Rishami tells about a case like that in history. In the time the Rishami tells the story, in the time of Shimon ben Shatach, one time there were 300 people who had taken on themselves a neder of nazirus. Comes the end of their nazirus, they have to bring their karbanos. Each one has to bring three animals of the carbon. None of them could afford it. They came to Shimon ben Shatach with the problem. Until they bring their karbanos, they're stuck as nazirim. Which, by the way, is true nowadays also. A person can become a nazir also, but if they do, they're a nazir until Moshiach comes. Yeah. There is, by the way, there is a famous character in recent Jewish history. I think we talked about him before. Rab David Anazir, famous Talmud of Rav Kook, who took on himself nazirus and kept it throughout his life. There's also a famous story that when the Rogachava was six, his father brought him to Yechidus, to the Tzemach Tzedek, and the Tzemach Tzedek gave him a bracha to be a lamdan and to learn the Sefer Nazir. I'm not clear from the story, actually, maybe somebody else can supply the information, whether the Rogachava actually observed the halachas of a nazir.
It's known that he had haircut.
I mean, it's known that he rarely, if ever, took a haircut.
But that's a different reason.
I've heard a different reason for that also, yeah, because it caused him pain, yeah, because he didn't want to sit bareheaded, yeah.
Because they're dying, the nazir doesn't have a face on.
The nazir does. Regular nazirus, you can have a Pesach for it, just like any other.
Yeah.
Nazirus Shimshin, not. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that later. But the regular nazirus, yeah. Yeah, regular nazirus. Yeah.
Horrible questions.
No. He wasn't talking about Pesach the Yom Tov. He meant a Pesach as in a way to be master the nazir. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the Rishami continues the story. So Shimon ben Shatach looked over the situation. He found, he was able, speaking of Pesachim, he was able to find a Pesach. He was able to find, so what he does is, he sends a message to Yana HaMelech, who was his brother-in-law, who was married to Shimon ben Shatach's sister, Shlom Tzion. He tells him, I have these 300 Nazirim. They're stuck over here in their Nazirus. Let's go half these on it. You supply for half of them, and I'll supply for the other half. Okay, Yanavi gets the message, fine, you know, if Shimon and Shatach can give towards 150 Nazirim, fine, I mean, I'm the king, I should do no less, fine. So he gives to the 150, meanwhile, Shimon and Shatach finds 150 of them, he finds a Pesach, he finds a way to be master the Neder.
So the king
finds out, people came and told the king that Shimon and Shatach didn't pay anything, and he got very upset at him, and Shimon and Shatach had to run away for a while. Eventually, what happens is, the Yerushalmi continues the story, one time ambassadors from, I think, Persia came to Yanai's court for a visit, and they're sitting, they're having a whole banquet over there, and they say to Yanai, you know, we remember there used to be this old Talmud Chacham over here who used to regale us with great words of wisdom. They mentioned Shimon Shatach, yeah, because he was wise, not just in Torah, but also in all kinds of things. So what happened to him? So Shlomtzion says to Yanai, swear that you won't harm him, and fine, bring him back over here. Okay, he swears, they send a messenger, they get him out of hiding, he comes, so Yanai asks him, Nu, how you talking? You tricked me like this. And then Shimon Shabbat told him, no, keep a tzela chacha v'tzela kesef. I helped them with my Torah, you helped them with your money. Yes, we went halfsies on it. I did my half, you did your half. And Yanai accepted that. Anyway, so we see the concept that, yes, a person can bring, can donate the korbanos of a nazir on behalf of a nazir. So, going back to our Mishnah then, when the person says, hey, who said, just because there's a nazir passing by, who says it means I myself am going to become a nazir? Maybe it means I volunteer to bring this korbanos. The answer is, Dikama Belibai. Because what we're talking about is that when he said, at the same time that he's saying ehei, he's also thinking in his heart that in fact I'm going to be a nazir. Question is, yachin ma'ilam emra? Well, in that case, then what's the chiddush? The answer is ma'ud etema, but in pid v'libe shavin. Because you might have thought otherwise, if it weren't for that, you might have thought that you need to have that your mouth and your heart match. Meaning, in other words, that. Now, obviously, when you're making a neder, it has to be that you, and we talked about this before, that if you made a mistake, if you meant to say one thing and said something else, it's actually not a neder. But the point is over here, if you're saying ehei, which is, there is still that equivocal thing in it, because it could mean I'll bring this person's karbonis, or it could mean I'll be a nazir myself. The fact is, still, you might have thought, yes, in his heart he meant to be a nazir, but he didn't actually say with his mouth something that amounts to I'm a nazir. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush, that the fact that there's a nazir passing by, and he says, hey, plus the fact that in his heart he intends to be a nazir, that itself it is considered pibbali b'shavin. What he said with his mouth, just the word ahei, is considered enough of a yad under these circumstances to be considered an actual nazir. Okay. So you do need pibbali b'shavin, but the point is, what is it? Ma'atam b'nei pibbali b'shavin means, in other words, you need, but. What you said with piv, just saying a hey with piv, is enough. That's enough to make it considered piv libeshavit.
If he passes by.
If there's another passing by, yeah.
As opposed to if it's not, then
it's not piv libeshavit, right.
So
it's
like
that Kamash Malon, look at the end of Tosfos Ma. Yeah, look at the end of Tosfos Ma'aretz. Kamash Malon, the Machsheves Halev, Megalya Adiburi, the thought in his heart, explains what he said in his mouth. De'ehei, ki nazir, over the phone of De'ehei nazir, Kamar. That fact that he said Ehei amounts to saying Ehei nazir. Okay. That is considered Pivot Libeshoven. So Rashi says the library, you know, that as long as there's another passing by. You should know though that actually, I mean, they're not, what we have over here printed as Rashi, it's the Chidah, various other Rachonim talk about that, it's not really from Rashi, it may be from the Rivan, a son-in-law of Rashi, maybe from somebody else, whatever. And in general, the London, when they learn Nazir, they usually learn only with Tosfos, so the Rosh. Same way as in Nedarim, for the most part, we learn with the Ran. So Rashi says over here that it means that you don't need people to be shoven. But Tosfos says that it means you do. So according to Tosfos's understanding is the point is you would have thought that you actually need that it has to be piv, that he actually has to say with his mouth something that explicitly is I will be a nazir. Much more that you don't need to that extent, as long as you have another passing by, and you said a hey, and you're thinking it in your heart, those three things taken together are enough.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah, okay. The Mishnah continued, hey, Noah and Nazir, that if he says, I will be Noah, I will be beautiful, then it also means he's a Nazir. Question is, Vidilma and Noah, the fun of a mitzvah. Why? Maybe it means I'll be beautiful before the Eivishter in mitzvah. Kedetanya, as we learn in a Braisa, when it says in the pasuk Zekeli van Vehu, and Noah, or he's Noah, the fun of a mitzvah, it means you should, van Vehu means I will beautify him, means be beautiful before Hashem in mitzvah. Esther, the fun of Sukkana, that I'll make for Hashem a beautiful Sukkah, Lulavna, beautiful Lulav, Titisna, beautiful Titis, Esther, the fun of Sefer Torah, Noah, I'll write for the Eibishter a beautiful Sefer Torah, ve'achrochenu b'shiroyim noyim, and wrap it up in beautiful silks. So, ehei noah means I'll be beautiful in doing mitzvahs. Amar Shmuel shetofos b'sayri v'amar enoah. Okay, similar idea. It means that he's holding on to his hair and saying that I will be beautiful. By holding on to his hair implies I will be beautiful with a mitzvah that has to do, that I will be beautiful with a mitzvah that has to do with this hair that I'm holding. Now, what mitzvah? What the only mitzvah that there is with growing your hair is Naziris. That's the next question of the Gemara. Yeah, 1 second. Don't run ahead over here. Which Tosfos, by the way, points out. Why don't you say the same kind of thing as before? Say that he says, "Hey Noah," when a Nazir is walking by. Same logic. What does he need to be holding on to his hair? What does he need to be holding on to his hair for? The difference is that, for one thing, Tosfos points out that's part of the reason why the Mishnah divided the yodos into two examples, a hey or a hey noah. Why did I have to give two examples? Because one would be talking about one case, and the other would be talking about the other case. One is where Nazir is passing by. One is where he's holding on. One is where he's holding on to his hair. But in the previous case, when he said just a hey, and we thought it might mean a hey betainis, so even if he's holding on to his hair, that doesn't change anything. Because a hey, in and of itself, doesn't mean anything having to do with hair. So therefore, it has to be that the Nazir is passing by. But when he's talking about, when he says that, hey, Noah, the Noah already, the fact that he's holding on to his hair, that strengthens the idea that it means I'll do a mitzvah of being beautiful that Dafka involves my hair. The question is it a milsa d'aveira v'aminin le Noah? Being a Nazir, isn't it an aveira? And yet we're calling it Noah, we're calling it beautiful. The answer is ain't that feel a little below our copper. Yes, even a coin are below our copper, the Amun Nazir Khoite, he says that a Nazir is called a sinner. That when the Pasuk says the Khifer Allah al Nafesh, the Pasuk describes by Nazir Tame that you bring a korban for him because he was sinned with soul. And Abulazar Kapper said that the sin was the fact that he took on Nazirus in the first place and deprived himself of wine. Hanimila Gabi Nazir Tomei. That's only talking about Nazir Tomei. The Aidi Deboy Mister, since he loses all the days that he did so far, to Amar Rahman Abayam Mershen and Gipluki Tomei Nizirai, that the earlier days will be lost because his Nazirus became Tomei, Hosim Hujuma Osim Mever al Nazirus. So in that case, Abulazar Kapper will say we call him a Chote because he's likely to violate his Nazirus. Right. He expected to begin with, he's only going to be a Nazir, let's say, for 30 days. Now he winds up having to be a Nazir and not drink wine or whatever 45 days or 50 days or whatever it is. So there's more of a chance that something's going to go wrong, and therefore we call him a chayte. Aval Nazir Tahar lav chayte karimei. But a Nazir Tahar is not called a chayte. So therefore, yes, he can well call it beautiful, and he can well be holding on to his hair and saying, hey Noah, that I will be beautiful with this mitzvah of Nazirus.
Okay. Thank you.